come looking for tonight, that's what you're going to get. The Word of God ever true. The only thing in this whole world that is true, and that's the Word of God. And I believe we have, as Brother Brown says, we have the correct interpretation by divine vindication that the Word that we're following is true, and there is no other to get us out of here. Amen. A couple of announcements. Remember, this Sunday, Brother Brad Yonce will be with us. Also, Saturday, we'll be leaving to go to the fellowship meeting. It'll be at 3 o'clock at Brother Tony Yeboah's. If you need a address, I think Brother Joe put it on the WhatsApp group. If not, just let us know. It's down close to Six Flags. If anyone needs a ride, I've got to work, and it'll be probably 12 or so before I get finished. So we're going to have to fly to Atlanta to get there by 3 o'clock, but we should be able to do it. So, but if you want to go, feel free to come and go. They'll have a wonderful service. Brother Ben Norod's going to be preaching, and also they'll have a meal. Brother Aaron will be speaking for us next Wednesday night, and I appreciate everything y'all did for the weekend. It was wonderful. Brother Richard and Brother Stephen did a wonderful job. And if you can't tell why they're not friends of ours, then you got a problem. And it's a word friendship first. Amen. We fellowship under the same word, and then we have regular fellowship because we have fellowship around the Word of God. And we sure appreciate them and love them, and they're just the best of the best. And we appreciate you guys for your support and feeding them and all that. We had a wonderful time. So just remember that this weekend coming up, Brother Brad Yonce will be here. Regular service on Sunday. He'll be with us, but we'll have go back to regular service with the Sunday school classes and all that on Sunday. So, all right, all minds clear? Amen. Love the Lord? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening you give us. Lord, we may just break back these pages, Lord, and we can turn to the scripture that we want to read. But, Father, without you, Lord, it would just be a reading of words, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint them. Yes. Anoint the hearer, Father, to hear, the eyes to see. Father, you gave us eye salve in this end time, Lord, to get those blinders off of our eyes, Lord, that we can see you more. Yes. Father, just forgive us of our sins and mistakes, Lord, that we make against you. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one. Bless the Ohio group there as they're watching in. Father, I pray that you'd touch each one of them. Father, you know their needs, and you know our needs, Father, because you're an ever-present God, and you love us, Father. And in loving us, you care for us. And Father, just take care of us to now in the furtherment of this service, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation 6. We'll continue just a little bit. We'll finish. This will probably finish up the third seal. We'll start on the fourth seal next Sunday. Yeah, the next Sunday. Not this coming Sunday, but the next Sunday. All right. Now, did you hear all weekend? Do you know why the seals are important and the opening of the seals? You could not follow what they were preaching this Saturday and Sunday without a knowledge of the seals. Because they preached them right down the line. They just didn't say this is seal one, this is seal two. But that was the revelation of the seven seals. It's what you heard Saturday and Sunday was a meat and potatoes message that we need for our nourishment. Amen? But God's give us those. He said he would give us those people to come among us and would preach the fivefold ministry to perfect a group of people. And only will a fivefold ministry that is in the truth and has the true word of God can get you to perfection. And we'll see that here in just a minute, because something came to my mind yesterday afternoon, and we were talking about false doctrine. I want you to see how false doctrine affected even the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right. God himself in human flesh, it affected him so much. You say, oh, well, no, it was just your unbelief. That's false doctrine. Mm-hmm. To disbelieve the word of God is sin, yes. Right? Remember, that's what the only sin there is disbelieving the word of God. Yes. So if you have a thought contrary, like they laughed Jesus and Jairus at Jairus' daughter, he had to put them out.
Right. Amen.
Right. He didn't listen. He could have drove the demon out of him standing there. But they must have loved it so much till he said, well, if you're going to keep that thing, you just go step outside for a few minutes. And we're going to let God do what God does. Amen. Amen. So that's how that false doctrine absolutely, absolutely affects your life. It affects all these different things that we're going to talk about. So Revelation 6, verse 5, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast, which is what? The man anointing. I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld in the Lord a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not. That means you can.
That's right.
Okay? When it says grieve not, that means you can.
Amen.
All right? Brother Brown said you can grieve the Holy Ghost. He can actually go out on a limb or reserve himself away from you and let you work something out.
Right.
Okay? He's helping you work it out on the limb he's on.
Right. Right.
But he wants you to call him back and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Right.
Yes. Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Only one seal. And that's the seal of what? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the seals.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the seventh seal. All the other ones are plays and parts of plays that leads up to it. But that's what you and I are in now. We're in the last act of the last play.
Amen.
Okay, there's no other one. Sure, there's one that goes to Israel, but that's not Gentile.
Right, right.
All right, and as we were, we've been talking, Brother Eric and I, about Daniel 70 weeks. See, if Daniel 70 weeks, Daniel 9:24, without a Gentile church coming in, it's just... He just runs straight across.
Right?
Amen? There's three periods. 62, 7, and 1 week. That makes 70 weeks. But God had to what? He blinded the eyes of his own children and said, let his blood be on us and our children. He opened the door to the Gentile age to get a Gentile bride that would love him beyond, that would love him without hands being laid on, that would love him with all these, even though you get called a dog. But God knew that. So he gave the Holy Ghost to a group of people in seven church ages to perfect a body so that God could come down and settle on in the end time.
Amen.
And we'll get to that in just a second. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto, which means forward, unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Now, you know why he's telling you? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
This is what grieves him.
Yes.
So he's telling you what's grieving him. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, but be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And he comes back off of that limb, and he comes back, and you have fellowship again with the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. Amen. So you can be seated. Lord, has blessing to the reading of the word. So remember, we were talking about this, and that's why I want to get one more time, because this seal number three, if you will pull the chart up over here just for reference purposes, please, that we talk about false doctrine. We talk about Satan riding these great powers and all these things that he has. It's false doctrine. 100% false doctrine. Because it's his ministry. We'll see in a minute. I read it to you last week where Brother Brown said he changed his ministry. All right? God don't have to change his. He changes us to his, but he don't change his to get us.
Yes.
Amen? Satan changes his to trap us.
Right.
So false doctrine, now watch. I'm going to tell you these four things, and then we're going to read scripture. Number one, it destroys your spiritual life.
Right.
It destroys the power. It don't destroy the word.
Right.
It destroys the power of the word.
Mm-hmm.
It destroys closeness to God, and it destroys your discernment.
Right.
Obviously, because if you're in false doctrine, you have false discernment.
Right.
Okay? So now let's read in Psalm 78, verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? They're talking about Jehovah, okay? Which is the same person. Hello? It's the Holy Ghost all the way through. Same person, all right? He was in the form of Jehovah back then with the people, not in the people. All right, so how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Now, what happened in the desert? They murmured, they complained, they had bitterness, they hated their brother. All those things that Paul listed there in Ephesians is exactly what he saw when he looked into the Old Testament and saw what happened in the wilderness journey, which is actually called the wilderness of what? Sin. All right. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and look and limited the Holy One of Israel. Right. Limited him.
Right.
He allowed that to happen, though, because of the contrast between good and evil.
Yes.
He had to allow that. All right. Because you can't limit the Holy One of Israel. But they did because of their unbelief.
Right.
He could not work in them or work with them the way he wanted to. He kept telling them, you do this, you do this, you do this, and this is what I'll do. They didn't do that, they didn't do that, and God just struck them dead and all those different things. That was the Old Testament.
Right.
That was God among the people or above the people, not God in the people.
Right.
So how much more now us with the Holy Ghost in our soul should be led by the Spirit of God?
Amen.
That's right.
Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. What limited him? Their unbelief. Their false doctrine.
Amen.
Okay? I wish that we was back in Egypt eating. That was a false doctrine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish that we loathe this bread. You know, we don't want this anymore. We want something else. False doctrine.
Right. Yeah.
They wanted to add to what God had already told them. And God allowed them to do it, but guess what he done? He killed them with serpents while they were eating the meat that God sent them. So watch in Mark 5, verse 38. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And this is Jairus' daughter. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and them that were with him and entered. Now, the ones that were with him was Peter, James, and John.
Yep.
Just so it's another account. Them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said to her, Talith kumu, which means, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And what happened? He loosed her because he had got the unbelief out.
Right.
Matthew 13, verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
Right.
Because of their false doctrine, he could not do what he wanted to do in that city.
Right.
So you see how false doctrine, when it started in that first church age, even as a saying, and then a deed, and then a doctrine, that false doctrine was limiting what God could do.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
And actually, as we saw many, many times, is we saw that the tree was being eaten by the same bug, which was the same false doctrine.
Right.
Bug doctrine, same thing. They were eating the tree of God.
Yeah.
All right. Mark 6, verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folks and healed them, and he marveled because of their false doctrine. That's our problem.
Right.
We limit the Holy One of Israel by our false doctrine.
Right.
You say, I don't have false doctrine. I believe everything Brother Brown said. Okay, we'll see. We'll see how you act.
Because
your actions speak louder than your words.
Right.
So in this third church, in this third seal, which was the fifth and sixth, part of the fourth, fifth and sixth church ages, we see that seal number one, type justification, seal number two, sanctification, seal number three, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and seal number four is what? The incarnate word, or the word made manifest, all right? Or growth development, all right? The baby got here, but now the baby's got to grow. And listen, a baby can be purely healthy when it's born and be malnourished by what it eats or doesn't eat and either die or be malnourished the rest of its life, right?
Yeah.
So it is, you are what you eat.
Amen.
So what are we eating? Because Paul tells us in Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I preached this several years ago. Because the life I now live meant he lived another life. He lived another life before this. In the flesh. The whole part is now what he's done, he's interjected Christ. But Christ liveth in me now. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I didn't get a body change. I didn't get this great thing where I won't have no trouble anymore. And my heavens, he was put in prison after he preached this.
Right.
You know, so we're not in that shape yet.
Right.
Okay? But he didn't worry about that. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right?
Right.
Look at that personal there. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Because remember, at your new birth, it's a birth of the Word, right? We know that. All right, it's the Word that's birthed into, it's burnt out the old nature, and God's put his nature in. Well, that's when the battles begin. That's when the tempting really begins. You weren't tempted when you were in the world.
No. Right.
You did what you wanted to do.
Right.
Yep. Now we're tempted of the things maybe that we did back then, and even the things now. We've got more to be tempted with, you young people, way more than what we were tempted when we were growing up. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, you had to, honestly, you had to go to some shady place to get what you can get on your phone right now.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So we're praying for you. We're praying with you.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you what me and June did. Sister June had an idea the other day. We are having some, not some issues, but we're having some, we have a daughter that's almost 40, you know, Hannah, and she's having some trouble. And then Deanna's living with us now, so she's 18 years old and knows everything past what we know.
Right.
And so you know what we done? We just, in symbolics, she bought two big long, probably about that wide, of scarlet red cloth, and we painted their doorpost with it. We took and tacked up the red, and we prayed, said, God, you said if we would, what? Apply the token.
Amen, that's right.
So every time they walk in, they know why that's up there. And that devil may know why that's up there. But I'm going to challenge him to not go in there anymore. You can't protect them all the time, but hey, this is my house. I'll do what I want to.
That's right.
So we got that red up here, and we stapled it up here. We stapled it in the middle, and we staple or push pins, and it hangs down. And there is our covering for our kids. Symbolics, but you know what? They did it in Egypt as a symbol, symbolics of what? Putting the blood over your doorpost. Your doorpost. The doorpost of your life. So I'll guarantee you when Hannah turns down that hallway and she's got something that she shouldn't have and she walks and she looks, maybe that'll do some work. So we'll see.
Amen.
Indiana too. It's not going to hurt.
No,
we prayed earnestly that God would help them and God would do something in their life because we can't do it. We've tried.
Yeah.
You just have to turn them over to God.
Amen.
Let the death angel pass.
Amen.
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 Apply the token.
Amen.
Don't be scared. If you don't apply the token, that's death.
That's right. Man.
If you don't apply the token to your life, their life, even your home, that's death.
Right.
The death angel will come and will take your daughter, son,
yes,
grandkid, husband, wife.
Exactly. Right.
He come to do what?
Kill
steal, and destroy.
Right.
He did not come to bring us anything good. So why don't we stand up to that?
Right. Amen.
Why don't we say, no, devil, not today.
Right. Amen.
I'm not yours.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The once I was, but the life I now live,
amen,
I live by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he hung on that cross at Calvary, that wasn't just a symbol. That was real blood.
Amen.
That was his blood. That was the blood of God.
Amen.
We know we're saved by the life, but that was symbolic.
Yes.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. What? I know it was the blood for who? Me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. So 1 Corinthians, we're still in the third seal. We're still talking about the Holy Ghost here. We hadn't talked about it much, but that's what Brother Brown said. First seal was justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then when we get to seal number 4, that's the incarnate word. We'll read that in just a minute. So there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Boy, sometimes we might get to the borderline of that, but you got to believe what God said. If you got something that you can't handle, God will show you you can handle it. If you're a child of his, he'll show you you can handle it. And then when you know you can handle it, it moves the bar up. Come on, it moves the bar up in your life to know I don't have to cower to that anymore. My life's going to move up a little bit further, and I'm going to move up a little bit further.
Amen.
When they took that land of Egypt, when they took the promised land, not Egypt, when they took the promised land, it was a fight of every inch, but they had to take every inch, all every time, every war, every day, every battle. They didn't just come in and the people just laid down. No, they fought. So Satan's going to fight you too. When you enter the promised land, Satan's going to fight you. Because it's in your flesh. It's in the spirit realm. All right? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation. All right? He's going to use that temptation to make a way to escape. Now, sometimes we think that's kind of weird. Well, God doesn't think like we think.
Right. Amen.
He said, my ways are not your ways.
That's right.
My thoughts are not your thoughts. I know you're a human. I know you're weak. I know you still have a spirit realm that Satan can jump into.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to let Satan tempt you to show the devil that, like I said before, you can move the bar up a little bit further.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
The things I used to do, I do them no more. Why? I've moved up.
Right.
All right? And that's what this whole thing is, right? It's a moving up the statue of perfect man. But will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it.
Right.
We wonder why. Sister Norma Jeffries, I know a lot of you don't know her, but most of you do. They came to church here a long, long time ago, Junior, her husband. And they moved to down south, and they went to Brother Yancey's church. But he passed away. It's been several years ago, probably 20 years ago or longer. And Sister Noma, she was young. They were young guys. He died of brain cancer. And Noma asked me, she said, Wade, why'd God do this? Why'd God take my husband? And it's okay to ask. I said, the only thing I know is you could take it. I couldn't. He knew you could form, your image would be formed in being able to take losing your husband.
Right. That's right.
Or you can fall to pieces and just, you know, mess your whole life up, but hey, it's up to you.
Right.
So Noma lived a wonderful life. She had dementia. She just died not too long ago, but she still did fine. But that's my answer to her, and that's my answer to you. Why will we question God? It's okay to question God.
Amen.
But I just said, Noma, you're strong enough to take it. If you weren't strong enough to take it, he wouldn't give it to you.
Right.
Come on, that's what he says right here.
Right.
He's not going to tempt you above what you're able, and if you get to that tipping point with that temptation, he'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That's what the seals are. The seals is your life.
Amen.
It's Christ in a higher form. You'd be able to handle things that you couldn't handle even in your normal Christian walk.
Right.
That you're able to do this. Watch right here. For in that he himself, Christ himself, God himself in human flesh, suffered, tempted.
Yep.
He is able to succor. You know what that means? To hold you.
Yep.
When you bring a baby and child, you secure you bring them to you and you hold to. Why? Because he knows how you're feeling.
Amen.
He knows how you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. Sometimes we think maybe God's not even. I don't know why I'm preaching this way, but that's okay. We're going this way.
Yes.
Secure them that are tempted. If you're not tempted, you might not be a child of God. Because the Bible says you're a bastard child if you're not tempted or able to take temptation.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody with me? Right. Sorry about that, but I didn't read that. God wrote it a long time ago.
That's it.
But he was able to secure or hold them that are tempted. And that's why you come down through here in the seals and you see that even though maybe in the fourth age it was so dark and so dreary and only a few people made it, only a few people came to the new birth, but the ones that did, God held them, because that's the reason I'm saying this is that's when he steps forward in that seal and says, don't you touch my oil and wine.
Right.
Well, now, where's your oil and wine at?
Right.
It's in his people.
Right.
It's not the world. It's in his people. I love this. He was so personal. He said, don't you touch that oil and wine, because that's my folks.
Right. Yes.
That's my people. And listen, that's the people that God allowed to be put in dungeons and to be put in arenas and die by being torn apart by a lion. You've not had a bad day like that.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
But he gave them to us for examples. All right? Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out is, who was that?
Yeah.
That was the Son of Man.
Well, yes.
That was the Son of Man. That was God in human flesh.
Right.
Now, let me ask you a question. Where is that same God today?
Right.
Sure, his body's up there making intercession. But the Holy Ghost is inside of you, and as the Word comes and grows more inside of you, you become the Word made flesh.
Amen.
So even being tempted, you cannot jump past that scripture. Yet without sin. Stephen preached this Saturday. When are we going to realize? That was the whole theme of when we're going to realize that we are now at that place in heavenly places. In our soul, we just got to get our second realm, our spirit realm, to believing what God's already said and to do this right here. Take the temptation, know what to do with it, and go on with it.
Amen.
No wowsy, wowsy, woo. Get up and move.
Right.
Do something. You know, even if the clouds come, there's always a break in the clouds. Amen. But he was all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now watch. Then he tells us, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. We're going to come back to this grace in just a minute. To the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and find grace.
Yeah.
I think it might have something, Brother Luis, to say about grace.
Praise the Lord.
The whole thing is grace. Throne of grace, obtain grace, and find grace.
Amen.
To help in time of need.
Amen.
And they take that now as a higher form in the seals to tell us that those little things, the little fiery trials and the different things that we go through, it's molding a character like never before.
Amen.
Jesus' character was molded by the things he suffered. Is that not true?
Right.
And being made perfect. He was the author of our salvation.
Amen.
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 Throne of grace, obtain mercy, and find grace. We'll get to grace in a minute.
That's right. Amen.
So now what does true doctrine do? Let's get all that false stuff out of the way. I was thinking today, you know those 200,000 demons Brother Branham said was loosed on the bride.
Yep.
200,000 demons was loosed on the bride. And Brother Brown said to drive her back to her homeland.
Right. Right.
That's the temptation. That's the trials.
Yep.
That's just something. Listen, you're either going to get closer to God or further away. One of the two.
Right.
You can't stay neutral anymore. You're going to be one way or the other.
That's right.
So what does true doctrine do? When we see true doctrine, we see the opening of the seals. We see that we understand the things that were preached this past weekend. And we see that that's molding a character in us that most people are going to miss. That's the character of the Son of Man, to be able to, as Brother Richard said, be the third pull of our life, to be where we speak the word. And God brings it to pass.
That's right.
So the true doctrine defeats those demons. The word's the most powerful thing we got.
Amen.
We know prayer is, but what are we praying under? We're praying under the word of God.
Right.
Amen? Even Jesus said, pray like this.
Right.
So, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. That's what he said. He said, pray like this. I'm sure he had special prayers, but he's told us to pray like this.
Right.
So the word has power. The word has authority. Why? You got to have authority over those demons.
Yes,
and it deepens your relationship with God, where all that other stuff takes you away from God.
No. No.
Amen?
Right.
Because that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. When the Garden of Eden, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Fellowship was lost.
Yes.
Discernment was lost. All those things were lost in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve took Satan's lie.
Right.
Amen. So what's God doing now? He's restoring back what? True fellowship.
Right.
True word power. Listen. Adam had complete authority over anything under the earth, in the earth, and in the air.
Amen.
Of the earth. Right?
Amen.
Complete control.
Right.
Okay? And then the second Adam comes and proves that. Being the second Adam, he had control of all that. But remember, watch. It was only for 3.5 years. And he didn't use it all the time.
Right.
But coming back to us on the day of Pentecost, when he divided that same spirit among 120 and then 3,000 and now ever how many million that we got now of true believers, that's where the power comes from.
Yes. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You'll have power after. As Stephen was, Brother Stephen, we just known him so long, we just call him by the first name, I'm sorry. But that's not respectful. Brother Stephen, same thing.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So let's review real quick, and then we'll get to the third seal, and then I'll read some about the fourth seal here in just a second. So the first was a white horse. He was a bluff. It was sayings. It was a spirit. All right. The red horse, he was given a sword, which was a false doctrine. And then that came from false doctrine into a literal sword where it killed. But what did it kill by? False doctrine. Because
right.
They had the truth over here. The true believers had the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The false doctrine is what killed them. Right? Because
yeah.
They didn't have the same doctrine. Listen, they had the same doctrine. They wouldn't have got killed.
Right.
But they had opposing forces, and God knew that. But he allowed 68 million to be martyred. I just put a bunch in heaven, that's all I see.
Right.
They just put a bunch of believers in there really quick.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
Then we come now to the black horse. It's still power in the people now. It's not sayings. It's not something in a book. The people are now becoming what they've heard.
Right.
So you and I are now becoming what we hear.
Right.
One way or the other.
Right.
Because the two spirits in the framework of the church is this close.
That's it.
It's in church.
Yeah.
But it's the power in the people, but it's absent of true doctrine.
Right.
It may sound good. It may look good. But does the word back it up?
Right.
Listen, God will not back up false doctrine.
Right.
That's why I said before, when Jesus walked into that situation, he was God Almighty. All he had to say was, lady, raise up.
Yeah.
But because of their unbelief, just gathering so much,
right.
He had to get them to leave.
Yeah.
That's right.
So if he had to do that, think about us.
Right.
That's why I tell you, when people's being prayed for, and I'm not praying for them, My prayer in my heart is Lord, don't let me stop them to get healed by something I brought or drug into this building. Brother Branham said one unconfessed sin can make the whole church bitterly fail. One. Lay it at the door, folks. If you don't lay it at the door, you brought it in with you. Me included. But I let that brother that's anointed pray for that person. I don't have to go lay hands on them. I just want to make sure I'm not standing in the way. You say, oh, brother, wait, you're a pastor. Forget it. Forget it. There are times when I felt like I stood in the way. And I know y'all don't. Just pray for me. But I want my slate clean. I don't want to have to come and say, what did Brother Branham say? He said, if someone comes for prayer and doesn't get what they asked for, he said, it ought to cause you to what? Get into desperation and pray and find out what's going on. So that's desperation. And I'll tell you, somebody walks up here and got cancer. You better be desperate. This person's desperate because it's life or death. Well, you know what? If you stand in their way, it's life or death to you too. Just in the communion. Right? Not discerning the body of the Lord. Meaning what? Sleep. Die. But don't let that scare you. You get that thing settled in here and you take that communion.
Amen.
It's an ordinance that a Christian will want to take.
Amen.
All right, so now the balances is what? Economic control. We see it more now than ever before. Look at the economy now. I mean, it's booming. The stock market's in 30-something thousand and it was 9,000 15 years ago. I mean, you just wait. This fall is going to be a fall. You don't, like I said before, you don't fall when it's 2 feet off the ground. Brother Eric, you fall when it comes off of Everest. Okay? Folks, it's going to happen. The prophet told us.
Amen.
And I just, the other day I was watching on Netflix. It was the Titans of Wall Street. And what happened in 1929 is what's happening right now. There were some that were against it. There were some that knew something was going to happen, but everybody else was so drunk with profits. But when the ball started rolling, they couldn't stop it. They pumped $3 billion. J.P. Morgan and different ones, they put $3 billion into the economy to pull it back up. 3 weeks later, they lost every bit of that. Collapsed into the billions back in the 20s and 30s. You can invest in the stock market if you want to. It's okay. I know some of you got 401ks and all the different things. That's okay. But let me warn you. You about me making some money now? It can go to zero tomorrow.
Amen.
You say, oh, there's things in place. Come on, people. There was things in place back then, but it got so bad it just rolled over the top of it. And everybody went to 30 and 40% unemployment. That's almost half the workforce in the whole United States was not working in the 30s.
Yeah.
That's why Dad said that his mama told him that they didn't know it was a depression because they were depressed all the time. They didn't have nothing anyway. They were killing one pig and eating the oink too, you know. So it's... And he would wear the shoes of the one of the shoes that got the shoes from the shoes of the cousin that... You know, and he had to cut the ends off. You've heard Dad tell you those stories. But they're true. They didn't have no money to go do what we do.
Yeah.
Lord, no. You make $3-4 a week. Back then, that was making a lot of money. But anyway, just be careful. Because the economic control is what Satan wants because he loves money. Because money comes power. Right? And money comes power. That's why Brother Brown said, watch out, preachers, ministers. Money, women, and popularity. Those are the three downfalls that you got to better be careful of.
Because
the devil's in all those. And it's not bad to have money. You know, Brother Dale's taught you many, many times. But when you start taking your money over God, you've made it your God. Okay? But anyway, so that's what we come to now. We come to the fifth and sixth age. We see that the economic control is... we know who controls the whole thing. I mean, the stock market, all that. is controlled by the Jews, and then it's all controlled by Roman Catholicism above all that.
Right. All right? Yep.
So don't you think that that's the epitome of false doctrine? You think they're going to help you? They'll help their Catholic friends, but they ain't going to help people that are opposed, because they killed the same spirit that killed 68 million in the Dark Ages is still here today.
Right.
That demons don't die.
Right.
They just move over into another place.
Right.
And they killed 6 million Jews, so that thing's still there, and they're wanting to kill me and you.
Right.
But there's going to be a little elect that's not going to happen to. And that's what we're heading toward. That's what we're pushing. We're pushing to try to get you into that, where you can realize, as Brother Richard and I were talking about, that it's us. It's Christ in us. This is it. We're the only ones.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
You can say that's exclusive. I'm not saying it. God did.
Right.
That's right.
Brother Brown said God was a segregationist.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why? He said what? Get away from that unclean thing. Come out of her, my people.
Yes.
Right.
And I want to tell you today, let's come out of the little things that we're getting caught in. All of us.
Amen.
Let's get out of that. Come out of her, my people.
That's right. Amen.
And that will be our theme until we take a body change. Because
right.
This has got to come out too.
Right.
This is coming with us.
Right.
And then they work under manipulation and famine. But God will speak when the seals open. That's why the seals had to open. If the seals hadn't opened, then we wouldn't be able to preach like we preach. We wouldn't be able to have people like Brother Richard and Brother Stephen that preach the seals and doesn't hardly mention them. But you know, if you got revelation, you know that that's what they're talking about. Because of that foundation. You got to have a foundation. It's got to be faith in what you believe. Foundation, faith. All right? So Brother Bram says, look, when we come to the third age, he changes his ministry. All right, he got a group of people in these other ages by certain different doctrines and all these different things. Well, in the fifth and sixth age, we know that they were reformers, all right? Minor prophets, though, but they were reformers, Luther and Wesley, because they couldn't, as Brother Brown says, they couldn't come all the way out.
Right.
When they come out of her, my people, Luther still had an arm that was hanging on to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Because Satan has changed his ministry. And listen, he changes it today to where he's now sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
That's right.
Preaching message churches sermons.
Mm.
Sitting in message pews.
Yes.
You better know that you know that you know. Because that's the only protection you're going to get. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. Who was that? That was the Lamb. A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and wine, which I just told you, that is people.
Amen.
That's not buildings. That's not candlesticks. That's not, the seven golden candles. No, that's people.
Right.
People have the oil and the wine. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. What was it? The Lamb. I was coming to this service, but Brother Richard read it in Revelation 5 Sunday. But let's read it again. The Lamb said it. He's going to take his own. Where was the Lamb? The Lamb came from behind the throne there in Revelation 5. Am I telling the truth? All right.
Amen.
It was a Lamb, a bloody Lamb, as it had been slain.
Right.
And he come to do what? To redeem his own. All right? He's redeemed it. It belongs to him. He's redeemed it. Amen. Don't you touch that oil. No, sir. Not the four beasts, but the Lamb was the one that said it. Now, oh my, the Lamb, not the four beasts, didn't announce this.
That's right.
Now, if you look in Revelation 5, the four beasts were there. 4 and 20 elders and all. It was a big group. A scene, as Brother Brown said, a scene of a play. You've got one sitting on the throne. You've got a bloody lamb. You've got the 4 and 20 elders, the four beasts. You got all that together. You got the angels and all the different things together. Because remember, the angel in Revelation 5, verse 1 or 2 says, who's worthy
right.
to open the book and loose the seals thereof? Who's worthy to do this? Well, it says no one was worthy. But as I've always taught you, by the time you get to Revelations 5, 10, somebody has took a change. Because now you're a king and a priest. You not only can look on the book, you are the book. You realize you're the book, and you realize the book is inside of you. And you realize that you're in the book, and you cannot fail. You've been redeemed. And you see your name on the book. You see your redemption. Forget about mine. You worry about yours. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, Brother Brown says this is the opening of these seals. And when he had taken the book, now remember the book was closed. When he had taken the book, the four beasts, there's the four beasts, and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them hearts and golden vials full of odors. Have you read this before? Which are your prayers.
Amen.
Your prayers of salvation. Redemption, healing.
Amen.
Your prayers.
Amen.
And it was golden vials full of them. God loves for you to pray to him. That's a sweet odor.
Amen.
That's a communion between you and God that no one else can do.
Right.
That's why I said the power of prayer. Are we praying enough?
Right.
Are we doing the things we're supposed to do? I just got finished with that book, Praying Life. You ought to finish it. Because there's some real good stuff in the back of it.
Yep.
We read the back of the book. And we win.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Now watch. And they sang a new song. Who? The angels?
Mm-hmm.
No, remember Brother Richard Wilson said it was a new song. It's one never been sung before.
Right.
That's
right.
Amen.
That's a revelation.
Right.
They sung a new song. They. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. This is the bride.
Right.
And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Right.
Amen.
So we went from not being worthy just a few verses over till somebody took a book, somebody opened it, and let you realize you was in that book, and you started singing a new song, and it's called redemption.
Amen.
I'm redeemed by love divine.
Yeah.
Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed.
Amen.
So now the voice was not the combat beast. It was the Lamb. So he was going to take over in that third seal, because remember, the fourth seal, we take a rapture.
Amen.
Don't get quiet on me.
Yes,
it's true. Okay, the fourth seal, we take a rapture because there's no more combat beast after the fourth seal. Now, not the fourth church age, the fourth seal. Because that's why I got those in brackets. The first seal encompasses the 1, 2, and 3 part of the 8. You understand there's an overlap. We've been taught that. Even Brother Brown talks about an overlap.
Amen.
The second seal, part of 2, all of 3, part of 4. Seal 3, all of 4, part of 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
Then you got part of 6 and 7 for seal number 4, which is encompasses the seventh church age,
mm-hmm.
which that's where we're living now. All right? Is everybody with me?
Amen.
And I hope you was able to understand just a little bit last Wednesday about what I was talking about. Pentecost. You had to have your bookends. Whatever happened in Ephesus has to happen now. They had the pure, unadulterated Word of God, so we got to have it.
Amen.
They had a Pentecost with no messenger to the age. The spokesman was Peter. He stood up on the day of Pentecost. Paul says, "I was born out of due season. I should have been." In other words, what Paul was saying, I should have been that 12th apostle,
right.
But I wasn't. Because I was born out of due season. And if you'll remember, Brother Branham, in 1950 or whatever, on the movie, what's the name of the movie?
Deep Call
to the Deep. He tells the Pentecostals, he looks right at them and he says, I was one of you Pentecostals, but I was born out of due time. He said exactly what Paul said.
Yeah.
In other words, what was Brother Branham saying? I should have been on Azusa Street with y'all. But I was a baby. I was born in 1909. I was a baby when that happened. Well, Paul was out killing Christians during that time that Pentecost fell. Hello, somebody. That's what he was doing. But God took him and he said, okay, you're going to be my first church age messenger. I'm going to have a Pentecostal age. Number one is going to be Ephesus because he brought the message to Ephesus. So he had to come at the end of the Pentecostal age to bring a message where each messenger comes at the end of the age. So you had to have, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later on. And for those of you who've been here before, we got a lot of new people that hadn't heard all this, and that's okay, and I love it. Just dig. All you got to do is dig. You'll not be left behind, I promise you. God will loop back and get you if you're one of his. But you got to make yourself available. You can't show up two or three times and then walk off and come back and show up two or three more times. You ain't going to. It requires that you listen all the time. Sorry. I mean, how are you going to get a good grade if you go to college and you go like one day and then a month later you show up another day? And same way in the gospel, folks. You say, oh, brother, you need to just preach and you know, just open your mouth and let it out. That would be a disaster. I believe God has given us teachers. And I believe I'm one. I'm a teacher that I can put something and show you. This is your curriculum, and this is what you. This is the book you got to read. This is what you got to study, and here's your homework. Because you want to understand it in other ways if you don't. But here we go. Let me tell you. Now, between the 6th and 7th church age, there was a Pentecostal age. Everybody with me? That was Azusa Street to bring the gifts back. Brother Brown said, I read it last Wednesday. No messenger to the age because the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. To what? Bring the message to Pentecostal people. Right. All right? No messenger. You had Parham. You had the one-eyed black man. Seymour. Daddy Seymour. You had all these different great ones. J.D. Lake or Lake and all the different ones. They were not messengers, though. They were spokesmen for that move of God. But then God said, I'm going to have a Malachi 4 that's going to come at the end of that Pentecost and going to bring a message. Now, remember, there's a lap over between as what we talked about Brother Branham bringing. He's bringing his message. But remember, I've read you several quotes and so has Brother Dale. His message was not a healing ministry. That's what he said. He said, not in the years of preparation. I'll bring those later on.
Right.
He said, but when the word comes. In other words, in 1963, when he met those angels, that was his message.
Yes.
Everything else he had preached was bringing us back to what had already been preached in the first church age.
Right.
Water baptism.
Right.
No eternal hell.
Right.
One true God.
Right.
Modesty. Dress. Paul wrote about it all. Peter wrote about it all. We just were reading it wrong.
Amen.
Amen? But now we're reading it right. God had to bring the eyesalve into the 7th church age to wipe that garbage off of our eyes called false doctrine. Because God is getting ready to not just do a partial work. He's getting ready to come down with grace, a capstone that will sit. If he's flesh, we got to be flesh.
Amen.
Oh, that's what I love. I just love that God has done this. We ain't done it. God's elevated us to a position.
Amen.
Now we got to fill that position.
Right.
And somebody will.
Yes, sir.
But if you'll remember, I want you to look in your Bible and see that there's an interval. All right? Everybody with me? Between a 6 and a 7.
Right.
Look in your Bible.
Yeah.
There's an interval between 6 and 7. Even when Brother Branham preached 6 church ages, he interjected 10 virgins.
Yes.
Before he preached the 7th church age.
Right.
He preached the breach.
Right.
To breach the two together. You'll see in the Bible that, well, just turn your Bible. Let's look real quick. Just something to give you some. I'm going to give you something to chew on tonight, okay? All right. Go to Revelation 6. No, you don't have to pull it up if you don't want to. They have Bibles. If they don't have Bibles, shame on you.
Amen.
You got it on your phone.
Amen.
So Revelation 6, watch. Verse 1 is what? First seal. All right?
Amen.
All right? Verse 3 is the second seal. All right? Verse 5, if you got a Scofield Bible, he walks you right through it. Verse 5 is the third seal. Verse 4 is the fourth seal.
Seven.
Huh? You got it? No, verse 7 is the fourth seal, right? Everybody with me? Excuse me. Verse 9 is the fifth seal. Everybody with me?
Right.
All right. Verse 12 is the sixth seal. Where's number 7? God interjected all of chapter 7. All right, now turn over to Revelation 8, verse 1.
That's right.
Hmm.
Right.
Because your seventh seal had to be under an 8.
Right.
Right.
Not a 6. A 6 is man's number.
Right.
It's under an 8, which is eternity.
Right.
Everybody with me? All right, continue on. Just for a second, and we get back to our thought. It's only 8:21. So the seven trumpets, if you'll go to chapter 8, right after the silence in heaven, you'll see that there are seven trumpets. All right, watch. If you got your Scofield Bible, it's really easy. Go down to verse 7. He says that's the first trumpet. All right, if you don't have a Scofield Bible, just trust me. First trumpet, all right. Verse 8 is the second trumpet. Verse 10 is the third trumpet. Verse 12 is the fourth trumpet. Chapter 9, verse 1 is the fifth trumpet. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Verse 6 is the sixth trumpet. Verse 13, sorry, is the sixth trumpet. Barrett, we got it?
Yep.
Where's 7? You got to go to chapter 10. God interjects chapter 10, which is our wonderful chapter that we really revere.
Right.
Then you got to go all the way to chapter 11, verse 15. So something happened between 6 and 7.
That's it.
Right.
And it happens all the time.
Amen.
Because when you get to a 6, that is the finishing of redemption. Six seals, I'll read it to you, Brother Brown says, six seals finishes redemption. The seventh brings Christ back to earth.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
Or the seventh seal is Christ in us.
Right.
So there's an interval between every six, and there's more. There's several more, and like I said, Brother Brown preached 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the books, the separate books. Remember, if you don't know that, he preached a church age series, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? He preached 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then he preached 10 virgins. Then he preached the 7th.
Right.
So there's an interval, and we'll work on that interval a little bit later. But I want you to just keep that in your mind because, look, every time something happens in between that 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Go back.
Yeah.
Revelation 6, then you go to Revelation 7. What does Revelation 7 do? It brings in the tribulation period, the remnant of Israel sealed.
Yes.
You go to the trumpets, chapter 10. I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud.
Right.
The little book was eaten. All right, everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Then seventh trumpet is on verse 15. You go to all the different ones, you'll see. You go to even the vials. Revelation 16, just keep reading it. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 vial. Then there's a period in verse 13 through 16. And then verse 17 is the 7th vial. There's always an interval, and we'll tell you what that interval is just a little bit later, but not tonight. It just kind of piqued your interest a little bit to keep watching. Now, let me tell you something else that happened. When Brother Brown preached the seals, did he preach 1 through 7?
No.
Did he not? He preached 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then had questions and answers. Then he preached the seventh seal on Sunday night. Maybe there's something to do with questions and answers in between a six and a seven. We'll get to that a little bit later, but that's the continuity of God. If you read your Bible that way, I know Dad's preached this 30 years ago, so it's not, it may be new to some, and it's still new to go through and just see the continuity of God, that he does six things, stops, and then does seven. He done six things. He stopped. Amen. Pentecost, no messing to the age. Then he began the seventh church age. Amen. Okay?
Right.
So something happens. The Holy Ghost comes in and interjects something between six and seven. Okay? And then if six seals finishes redemption, then that's it. Because six is man's number.
Yeah. Right.
Seven is completion, though. You got to go to seven for your body change.
Right.
All right? Everybody with me? You can close your Bible up now. That was a little, that was a side note. What they call that, side note? And what? It's a side note. You got a side note over here.
Right.
Okay? Your teacher just threw you a curveball.
Yes.
Amen. But it couldn't have happened that many times and it'd be just nothing. Okay? Because God's word's perfect.
Amen.
And he does something, if he ever does it one time, he does it the same.
Right.
All the way through. All right? But there is an interval between six and seven. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. So the voice was not a combat beast. It was Christ himself. It was the Lamb. It proves God is with us again. True revelation returns. Now, it wasn't that they were false, but they only had so much light. I want everybody to, this is how I think God, this is the way God went through the church ages. Everybody take your hand like this and do like this. Now, if you want to know if you're right eye dominant or left eye dominant, just look at me through that hole. Close your left eye. If you don't see me, you're right eye dominant. No, you got to hold both eyes open. You can't hold one eye. You got both eyes open.
Right.
See, I'm left eye dominant because when I do close my left eye, Aaron's way over yonder. Well, there's another thing we'll get. I'm not even going to charge you for that one. But what God doesn't limit himself.
Right.
Remember, we limit him. So in the fifth church age, you feeling okay now? Hey, eyeglass girl, you just work on my barn. I told Bella, how many of y'all went to the eye doctor and looked in that stinking thing and see the white picket fence and the red? That since I was a baby. Technology. You could put a hologram in there. But nope, it's the same red house, barn, and the same white picket fence.
I'll make it Hoffman's Head of Christ for you.
That, beautiful. I'd love to see that. Bella works for a optometrist, so that's why we said that. But if you'll do this, now, if you do this, see, I'm looking right at Brother Tony. That doesn't mean y'all not there.
Right.
It means I can only see Brother Tony because I have blinded myself. That's what Luther did. Luther saw the just shall live by faith. That didn't negate all the other. Because God was working still all the way through. But he just said, all right, Luther, this is your time to shine. Just shall live by faith. That's all I want you to see. What didn't happen with Wesley? He broadened it out a little bit bigger. Now I can see more people. Now I can see that we need sanctification because these people on the peripheral is not living right. Now what, tonight, you're living under no hands.
Amen.
You're living under the eagle anointing, which is that way, that way, that way, that way, and higher than anybody else.
Amen.
Oh my, that's,
amen.
Like Brother Rich Wilson, that just burns my soul.
Yes.
To know that God did that for us, and he's given us a pathway to get there.
Amen.
He didn't just throw it out there and say, well, fend for yourself. No! He put this thing in order.
Amen.
Man has got involved and knocked it out of order. Satan got involved and knocked it out of order.
Yes, it is.
But not anymore.
Amen. Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
Why, I'm a holy roller. That's where I'm going to.
Right.
Now, we're talking about Joel restoring everything back real quick. there after Jerusalem, the Holy Ghost had failed. Now, he's talking about over there, AD 30. All right? Hello? Okay. The Holy Ghost had fell. He's seen the dark ages coming in, fourth age. He's seen that vine destroyed and pushed down to a stump, but God said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Now, remember, don't miss this now. Those four death messengers that we've been talking about, white horse, red horse, black horse, and pale horse, the destroyers, the power of Satan, or the permitted power that he has, there was four death messengers. So if you had four death messengers kill the tree, then you got what? Four life messengers, lion, ox, man, and eagle, to restore it.
Amen.
All right? Everybody with me? Four messengers of Roman devil dogma killed the tree. One took its fruit, one took its bark, one took its leaves, or bark, took the life. Four messengers of dogma killed the tree, all but the roots. And you know why? You and I were in those roots.
Amen. That's right, amen.
You and I were those roots. Because where did it spring up from? Us. The life that was in those roots is the life you have now in your soul. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Either that or God's got another group he's working with. He ain't got two brides. He got one bride. That's it.
That's right.
Four messengers of life restores the tree. Do you get it? By four death messengers killed it, four life messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther, justification. John Wesley, sixth church age, sanctification. Now watch. Now watch. What was the third? Pentecost with a restoration of the gifts, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. He didn't call a name because it wasn't. It was no messenger of the age. The Holy Ghost came himself.
Right.
What was the fourth? The eagle anointing or the word of God being made, put back in power.
Amen.
The word. What? The word. There were four great prophets. Now, Luther was a minor prophet. Wesley was a minor prophet. And then there was a prophetic utterance with the Pentecostals. Everybody with me? And then we know who the fourth prophet was.
Right.
All right, we call his name a lot. So justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark, doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaves? Pentecost. What? Clapping, rejoicing, Pentecostal.
Yeah.
What? The fourth was the word itself. I like my brother, itself.
That's right.
Yes.
Right.
The word then, though, not on pages, but in flesh. The word made flesh, fruits of the proof of the resurrection sign. What was the resurrection sign? Healing, raise the dead, healing.
Right.
That was the resurrection sign. That's why Brother Brown had that sign in his healing campaign. He had a sign of resurrection.
Yeah.
But remember, that's temporary in our part, right?
Yeah.
We need a resurrection, that Brother Brown said one time, out of dead works, out of denominations. Christ is finally, after justification been planted, sanctification planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out. And Christ has again centered himself like the cap of the pyramid. He's way up here now. First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then the coming of the cap. So the Holy Ghost is back in power in the fifth and sixth church age, even though it was through reformers. God was happy to build his tree back. Listen, he built it back. It's his tree.
Yeah.
He built it back the way he wanted it built back.
Right.
If you say you should have done it different, then that makes you the devil because the devil thought he could do something different. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So here he comes. And that's the way, I mean, that's how simple it is. If you think of a better way that God, or you don't want to do it the way God, that's what the devil did.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do it God's way. He wanted to do it his way.
Yeah.
Me. Here he comes in the Antichrist, false prophet. Beast in the dark age. Church comes out of that dark age. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Watch. Incarnate word.
Amen.
When the seals came and opened up, that was the incarnate word of God. That was Brother Brown standing there saying, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. And there goes a white horse rider. Satan was exposed and God was made manifest. We know Brother Brown wasn't God, but he was the closest thing to God at the time. But you and I are the same. We are little messiahs. We are little eagles.
Amen. Amen.
Now, what do little eagles do? They grow up to be big eagles.
Right.
Right.
When mama eagle's off the scene, the baby eagles grow up and take the next generation. That's what we're doing now. Oh, he goes down. Satan goes down. The church goes up. Satan comes down. That's what he's trying to explain. All right? So Luther's message of the just shall live by faith, that was justification. Wesley's cleaning up of the church was sanctification. Azusa Street Pentecost restored the gifts, or the Holy Ghost came back into the church. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 was the complete revelation of the entire word. What was Jesus Christ? He was the entire word made manifest. Entire. He missed it by... He said, show me where I missed it.
Amen.
Search the scriptures.
Right.
He knew they knew who the scriptures. He wasn't talking to a bunch of dummies. He was talking to the what? The high class of the day. He was talking to the message believers of the...
Yes.
They had Moses' quote book. They had Moses' sermons. Does that sound familiar?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But Paul's looking at them after Jesus died and come back on the day of Pentecost. Paul looks at them and says, in other words, Jesus said, if you knew Moses, you'd have known me.
Right.
Paul pretty much said the same thing.
Amen.
I've come to bring the word of God. I've come to bring it back in power and demonstration, and they killed him for that, just like they killed Jesus.
Amen.
The Son of Man ministry has always been hated.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God allowed it not to happen until this age. We're the only ones to be able to take it.
Right.
The Son of Man's not been in any other age, folks. Bits and pieces, absolutely, bits and pieces. But I'm talking about a group of people that studies, comes to church, that reads their Bible, that says, I am headstone people.
Amen.
I am the last I am.
That's right.
Amen. Now watch, Brother Brown said, I want you to understand this. We are not talking about the individuals or the people, but the age. Luther had the Spirit of God. Listen, there's some people, a long time ago, there was a brother come through here and preached that Luther and Wesley had no Holy Ghost. Well, you know what my dad did. He took him straight to the house and showed him about 10 quotes where Brother Bram said he did.
That's right.
Right here, Luther had the Spirit of God. That's pretty much close enough for me.
Right, yeah.
But his age was not the age of full restoration,
right,
by another outpouring like in the beginning. In the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch who he gets. Watch. He tells you it was the same with Wesley, Booth, Knox, Whitfield, Brainerd, Jonathan Edwards, Mueller. Brother Brown gave them a lot of accolades, didn't he?
Amen.
Surely they were full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, they certainly were, but the age in which each lived was not the age of restoration.
Right.
Neither was any age but this last age, the age of complete blackout and apostasy. This is the age of apostasy, which is the fourth seal. We'll get into that with everything wrapped together. And this is the age of restoration. It is the age of the finished cycle. What is the finished cycle? Seed planted in the ground on the fourth church age. Seed planted in the ground. Two shoots come up, Luther. Stalk comes up, Wesley. Pentecost is the tassel. And you got the grain again. That's your full cycle.
Amen.
You and I are in the last cycle of the fullness of God. Now watch. With this, it's all over.
That's right.
With this, it's all over. Questions and answers. You see, each one of these ages only taking a dip into the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. No messenger to the age. Why? The Holy Ghost came himself.
Amen.
God came himself to get the thing started right, just like he did on the day of Pentecost over there.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Got it started right. No messenger. Paul comes along the messenger of the age. No messenger to the in between there in the Pentecostal age. Then Brother Brown steps on the scene right after that. Everybody with me? Now watch, but at the end of the age, as it always ends up on the other, we find there the messenger was sent. And all these scruples and things will be placed into place. What did Brother Adam say the seventh messenger did? Tied up loose ends.
Right.
Now that was the first part of his message.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Remember, there was two parts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, which was the second part, the opening of the seals.
Right.
Brother Branham's real message that no one had ever heard before started when he said, "Here stands a lamb with a book in his hand."
Yes. Right.
And there goes a white horse rider.
Yes.
From then on, it was the pure, unadulterated word of God. Every service he preached, God was there preaching the word.
Amen.
To us.
Amen.
Got this place in their place like that. Then the rapture comes for the church. Now watch, but then if the Pentecostal message was the last message, which justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the last three messages, the last three church ages forms the complete birth. What? The complete birth.
Right.
Birth, the new birth.
Right.
All right? But the new birth has been taught since the first church age.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen?
Right.
But it had been taught wrong because you get into that lap over in the Pentecostal age and they say if you speak in tongues, you got the Holy Ghost. That was their new birth. If they spoke in tongues, they got the new birth. Now, some did, some didn't.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
But that wasn't truly taught until Brother Ram comes and teaches them. That's why the Pentecostals didn't like him no more. He was telling them they were false.
Right.
He said God's left the shuck.
Yes.
He's in the grain again.
Right.
He was speaking of you and I.
Right.
Amen.
So the last three messages complete the birth, but it does not complete the walk. It completes the birth, but not the fullness.
Right.
Not the headstone.
Amen.
Right.
Just like when a woman is going to have a baby, she asks you what? Water, blood, life. When they killed Jesus on the cross, same thing happened. So water, blood, life. What was the last thing? Water, blood, life. Life is the Holy Ghost. And then growth, maturity, resurrection, change, and rapture. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Now watch. Here, we'll stop right here. The Lutherans, under justification, defeat. He's talking about God raising his army back up, raising his statue back up. Raised it like that. Wesley under sanctification. The Pentecostals under the arms, works, deeds, and so forth. Had to be Calvinist or had to be Arminian, had to be legalist. But now we come to the head, the capstone. Grace, grace, the capstone Christ. Listen, there's no moving parts up here.
Right.
Okay? No moving parts right here. This is the head.
Mm-hmm.
But it controls every moving part you got in your body.
Right. Amen.
And what's it crying? Grace, grace, the capstone cried. The headstone crying what? Grace, grace. Passed from death and creed into a living word of the living God. God's only provided plan for his age. Watch. His sons in the word age, quickened by the Spirit like a spark that's lit off of something to make it alive, and seated now in heavenly places. Watch what he said, in present tense.
Mm-hmm.
Already alive and subject to every promise in the Word. Then what does that do? Then what does that do?
Yeah.
You being a part of God's gene, a part of the Word, other men a part of God's Word, seated together, manifest the entire body of Christ. Because there's no leaven among you. What is leaven? Leaven is sin. Leaven is something you add. Something you add. See what he's talking about, Brother Brown. No leaven among you, just the word only seated in heavenly places. In the door where he puts his name, Christ Jesus. No leaven among you, watch what it does. It brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you.
Right.
Couldn't do it in Luther's age.
Right.
Couldn't do it in Wesley's age.
Right.
Couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age. But in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, revealed, brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst his people.
Amen.
He's never been this way before.
Right.
He's happy.
Amen.
We've just got to get under that fountain.
Right.
The entire deity of God amongst his people, showing the same visible signs, manifesting himself like he did at the beginning when he was manifested on earth in the form of a prophet, God. Musicians, come on.
Amen.
Brother Brown tells us, he said, there was no leaven among the people. He's talking about the Day of Atonement in the days of Moses. When Moses brought the children out, there was to be what? 7 days that there was to be no leaven among the people.
Right.
Anyone knows that in Exodus. No leaven. What is that? No creed, no world. And Jesus said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. See? And we're trying to mix that. You can't do it. You've got to come to one thing to believe. You're either going to believe God, you're going to believe your church, you're going to believe the world. You cannot mix it together. That's why we're coming to that fourth seal. Everything is mixed together on that fourth seal. What is the incarnate word? It's justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost wrapped up into you.
Amen.
Wrapped up into you. That's what God wants to work. He wants to work through you. Let's stand to our feet. You cannot mix it together, but you can't hold to them old that the other churches before you did. You got to take the message of the hour.
Yes. Amen.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked to behold a pale horse. He's got a name now. Under the revelation, the higher revelation, we see who this person is. His name was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword. They're still, same word, hunger of the word of God. And with death, what? Darkness. And with the beast of the earth. There's your fourth seal. You love the Lord? You and I, this is our mandate, folks. We have no other mandate.
Amen.
If you're born again, that's wonderful. If you're not, work on it.
Amen.
Work on it, because I'll promise you, you are the 11th hour worker.
Amen.
Right, Brother Luis? He's preached on that several times, and I really love that. What did the 11th hour worker do? He come in right at the 11th hour, and he negotiated for the same wage as the people. And if everybody accepts it, then what was that person's problem that comes up? Why? He had a problem with it.
Right.
Because he didn't come up with it. He worked all day. He worked all through the church ages.
Yes.
But there's an 11th hour worker that comes in. But you know what? He done his job.
Yes.
He done his job. That last hour, he did what his master asked him to do. And you know what? God was pleased, or the master was pleased. And gave him his wages. That's you and I. We're the 11th hour worker.
Amen.
It's going to happen in this little body.
Amen.
It's going to happen. There is no other body for it to work through.
That's right.
Amen. It's just us. Let's sing a song. Amen. God bless you.
Give
you the new birth. You'll remember that.
We know.
sons and daughters of God that we're acquainted with, Lord, when we talk to on a daily basis. Our group here, Father, the ministers, Lord, we pray that you touch them. Just be with them, Lord. Bless them even in the darkness of the hour. Just ask somebody. I think it may be on WhatsApp. Just ask about it if you want to go. It's 3 o'clock, and we'll go down and have some fellowship. And then Brother Brad Yontz will be here Saturday afternoon, and he'll be speaking for us on Sunday. We've never had the brother here. I've heard him. He's from Brother Jason Watkins Church. Wonderful brother. And we are looking forward to another good time in the Lord on Sunday. All right, and then Brother Aaron will be speaking the next Sunday. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's sing that one more time and you'll be dismissed.